Morning, everyone. It's great to see everyone here at church. In case anyone's slightly confused, there will always sometimes be a bit of a mismatch between what's read out and the screen because it depends on the version it's being read from. But it's the Word of God, and we're going to actually take a look at that this morning. I'm going to get us to do a bit of, shuffling around a little bit. Probably more on this side than that side. I kind of understand that as parents, you actually do need to kind of be towards the back because your kids might be a little bit restless, whether it's your kids here or in Sunday school. So rather than getting people at the back to move to the front, I'm going to get this entire side, apart from Denise and Ray, to move forward three pews. So I'm going to do a mass movement over this side because I feel a little bit lonely that I'm sort of having to cast my voice at the back. So if everyone can move three forward, that means the parents at the back are still at the back, but just a little bit further forward. So if we can shuffle around a bit, that'll help me and just probably help yourself be able to concentrate as well. While that's happening, let me throw a few other announcements around. In case you didn't realize, Andrew and Sally Kyrios, they're our student ministers for 2016. They're finishing up next week, will be their last Sunday. So we interviewed Andrew a few weeks ago. They're going to be starting at St. Andrew's in San Suzy. So next Sunday is our last Sunday that we'll have them. And so they're on holidays at the moment, which is why you don't see them today. But make sure that next week you actually bid them farewell and just find out a little bit more about what they're up to. On a related note is that while they finish up as student ministers, we will be having a student minister joining us this year. Some of you might already realize Jose will be coming on board this year, which we're excited about. Jose is going to give us a bit of a wave. And his lovely wife, Vincy, and we'll find out, we'll actually get them up later, not today, but later in the next few weeks, and find out more about them as well. But that's exciting that they're able to be coming on board with us, that we can serve them, and that they can also serve us as we seek to serve God together. The final announcement is just to add on my encouragement to Sam, which is to say, if possible, to stay back for the working bee. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to throw out, and so if you can stay back after lunch, that'd be greatly appreciated. And as we take a look at God's Word together today, why don't we pray and commit this time into God's hands? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for this time that you've given us to come together as your people, to read 1 Peter chapter 1, and help us, Father, to reflect on the year ahead in light of your Word. Father, we ask that you convict us of your truth, that you might speak to us through your word, and we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, kids have a game. It's a board game called Guess What I Am. I think on the screen behind me there's a snapshot of what the cover looks like. It's a little bit like celebrity heads. The idea is that you've got these cardboard cutouts and you put it over your face, and you don't know what your cardboard cutout is, but everyone else can see it. And the idea is that you ask different questions, and by the end of that, you try to guess who you are. And so you might have, for example, you might be a cowboy, or an astronaut, or you might be a clown. You actually might be an animal. You might be a pig, a snake, an octopus. By asking these questions, you're trying to work out who you are. It's good fun. The kids love it. They think it's hilarious when they see their face sticking out of a monkey's body, working out who I am. At the start of 2017, where we're a week in, I think that's a really good question for us to ask. We're going to take a look at that question this morning. To ask that question, who am I? The start of a year can be a time of soul searching, working out what you would like this year to look like, what you would like to be, what you would actually hope to be in this year to come. And that's why we make New Year's resolutions. We make resolutions like, I want to do more exercise because we want to be more healthy, we want to be more fit. Or we actually want to be a good mom, a good dad, and so our resolution is to spend more time with our kids. I want to reach my potential. And so you start a project, or you change jobs, or you decide that you'll study a new course, some postgraduate, whatever it happens to be. At the start of this year, I want us to be fully clear about who am I? Or a better question, to actually see, what does God want me to be? And so that passage in front of us, 1 Peter chapter 1, this is what God says to us. This is God's New Year's resolutions for all of us. He says, be holy. Be holy. Okay, so we've got that clear. We know what our resolution is. That if you were to write in that box in the bulletin that Sam pointed out, that might be what you write down. Be holy. What does that mean? What does it mean to be holy? To be holy, that's a word that sometimes we associate with religious connotations. We have a holy place or a holy person. But to be holy actually just means to be set apart. That's what Albert was saying earlier. It means to be different. And so an illustration is that we have a pair of scissors at home. We have a pair of scissors that is holy. It's different. It's different from all the other scissors in the house. This pair of scissors, it's got a green handle. It lives in the second drawer of our kitchen. Unlike every other pair of scissors in the house, this pair has one job and one job alone. This pair of scissors is a pair of scissors that we use to cut raw meat. It is holy. No other scissors in the house does that. This pair of scissors with the green handles, it's holy. It's set apart for that very purpose. Dawn is holy. She is set apart. Ever since the day that we got married, she is my wife, and she's only my wife. She's only my wife. She's not free to marry anyone else. She's different from all the other women in this church. She's different. She's set apart. That's what it means to be holy, to be different, to be set apart. And so when God says here, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, when he says, be holy, he's saying to us, be different. Be set apart. Don't be like the rest of the world. Don't be like everyone else. The person who sits next to you at work, your friends at university, don't try to be the same as them. Don't be like the family or the couple who live next door. You are to be holy, to be different. If you're a Christian as you look at 2017, that is what God wants for each and every one of us. Now, we'll come back to that a little bit later, but Peter actually gives us every reason why we should be holy, why we should be different. And it's because of who we are. That's why we are to be holy. There's three things that I want us to take a look at. Three things to understand about ourselves in the passage that was read out for us. It'd be great if you have your Bibles open in front of you. It'd be great if you're taking down notes that you can write down questions to ask later on. Three things about who am I? And the first thing we see is verse 17. Who am I? Who are you? You are precious. That's the first point. You are precious. If I was to ask you, how much are you worth? And just think about that for a moment. If I was to ask you, how much are you worth? What would you say? Now, there's a few different ways you might answer that. You might take out your calculator or your spreadsheet, work out how much your assets are worth, the value of your car, your house, your bank account, and you compare yourself with the person next to you. Okay, that's what I'm worth. That's one way you could do it. Another way that you could do it is to work out how much money you earned. How much does your job pay you? And I'd suggest that would be a wrong way to go about it. I remember talking to a mum. This is a few years back. It's somebody who's actually overseas. She had just had her second baby. And after the baby was 6 months, her family was telling her to go back to work. And the reason why they were telling her to go back to work wasn't because she needed the money. The reason why they were telling her to go back to work was because being a full-time mum, it wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough, which is totally upside down. It's a terrible way to think, because being a mum, for anyone who's a mum, it's one of the hardest jobs in the world. But even more than that, when it comes to the Bible, if you have kids, being a mum is one of the most important jobs in the world that you can do. It's more important than being an accountant. It's more important than being a manager, as being a specialist. To teach your children to know Jesus is the most important thing for a mum to do, or for a dad to do, for that matter. It's the most important job over what it is that you might be doing in the workplace. If you've ever thought, that person, she's just a mum. If you've ever thought or said, I am just a mum, can I suggest that maybe you need to repent? That is what the world says, but that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that is the most important job in the world. Maybe we actually need to change our thinking here in church. And yet that's the point, isn't it? If you're based, if your worth is based on how much you earn, if you're a full-time mum, then you're not worth much, are you? That's a wrong way to think about how much you're worth. Maybe here's a way to work out how much you're worth. Here's a different way of calculating your value. How much is someone willing to pay for you? How much is someone willing to pay for you? There's a man by the name of Warren Rodwell. I don't know if you remember from the papers a number of years back. He's an Australian. He was a former soldier and English teacher at university. Warren Rodwell was living in the Philippines, but on December the 5th, 5 years ago, he was kidnapped. Kidnapped by militants in the Philippines, and he was held hostage for 15 months. 15 months living in the jungle, moving from camp to camp so that the people looking for him couldn't find him. 15 months of a constant lack of food, being sick, thinking that he'd been forgotten, being prepared to die. But on the 23rd of March 2013, over 400 days later, Warren was finally set free. You see, what had happened was that his wife and his family had paid the militants $93,600 to let him go. $93,600. They got a loan from the bank. They sold their assets, they sold their car, their property, they sold a water filling station, which is where they're getting some money from, because that's what Warren was worth, $93,600. How much are you worth? How much money is someone willing to pay for you to be let go? Now, that's not a hypothetical question, because that's what God does in this passage. Did you see how much God is willing to pay for you? What does it say in verse 18? Let me read it out. Verse 18 says this: "It was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Do you see how much God paid to buy us back? How much he paid to redeem us, to rescue us from our empty way of life, a life without God, a life under God's judgment and anger. It didn't cost God gold or silver, $93,000, that's nothing. It cost God his son, the precious blood of Jesus. That is how much God thinks you are worth. Even before the creation of the world, in verse 20, even before we had done anything good, anything remotely significant, God always had this plan that Jesus was going to die for you and to die for me. God says, totally because of his grace, this is who you are. He says, you are precious. You are precious. And so verse 17, Peter says, because you're precious, live as strangers. You are to be different. You are strangers in this world. This is not your home. You are to be different. You are to be holy because you're precious. Who are you? You're precious. But second, he also says, you are imperishable. You're imperishable. Verse 23, let me read it out. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Because of Jesus, if you trust in Jesus, you have been born again. You've been given a new life. But not just like the life that you had beforehand. That the emphasis here is on the type of life. The emphasis here is where our life comes from, what the seed is that gives us this new life. You see, different seed has different results. Last year, Zach came home from school. This is in December. It was around Christmas time. They come home with all sorts of stuff. Sometimes half of it's junk, but they come with all sorts of stuff. One of the things he came home with was a cup full of grass. Now, it was kind of funny, actually. It was a polystyrene cup, and it had a picture of his face on it. You know, they printed it out. He had a photo of his face on this polystyrene cup. And the idea was that they planted these grass seeds into the cup. And so as the grass grows, it's like this head of hair on top of his face. That was the idea of this. And so if you're lucky, this grass, his hair, is going to live till the end of January. This grass will live for a few weeks. we have that cup on the windowsill. And as you look out that windowsill, you can see a casuarina tree. It's one of the trees that's living outside of our fence. One of these big trees that has the pine needles. Now, this particular tree, it actually has a seed which is like a pine cone. Now, where the grass actually lives for a few weeks, this casuarina tree will live for over 15 years. Because different seed leads to different trees. And different seed has different lifespans. It's the same here in 1 Peter. The life here and now, the life that we're used to, this is life born of natural seed. The life that we live is life born of perishable seed. The life here and now, it doesn't last. All the things here, it's going to fade away. But life that comes from Jesus, life that is found in the Word of God, well, that is imperishable. That life does not perish, spoil, or fade. That life lasts forever. Imperishable. And that's what God gives us. I don't know what your year is looking like. I don't know your thoughts on 2017. Maybe for you, you're sitting here and the year looks great. You've had a good break over Christmas. You're looking forward to 2017. Work is going well. Maybe you're starting a new job. Things are coming up in the pipeline that's exciting. And that's great. It's good for those things to be happening. But if you're sitting here and this year is looking good, praise God. But also remember, what is going to last forever? It's not the here and now. It's not those good things that are good to enjoy. Make sure that you're holding on to what is really important. Make sure that you're holding on as first priority, that which lasts into eternity. Or maybe you're sitting here actually and this year is not looking good. Work is uncertain. Work's been stressful. Somebody close to you has issues with their health. You're struggling with different areas of your life. If that's you, it is good to know this here, that God has in store for you a life that is imperishable, a life that is going to last. God has in store for you a home that is going to be perfect. And so in the midst of this year, hold on to that, to actually be imperishable. And do you see what it says in verse 22? Verse 22, the reason is in verse 23. It says, for, because you are born again, because you are imperishable. Verse 22, this is what you are to do. Love one another deeply from the heart. It flows on from the fact, if you are imperishable, then love the people around you. That's what being holy looks like. You will love the people at church. We heard that last week in 2 John, didn't we? But we also see that in John chapter 13, remember when Jesus says this, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. You see, how you treat people at church, how you treat people who are actually hard to love, well, that is actually how we stand out. That is how we are different to the rest of the world, by the way that we treat each other. And so be holy by loving, because you're imperishable. Who are you? You're precious, you're imperishable, and here's the last thing. You are family. Your family. It's there in verse 14. Peter says, as obedient children, you're obedient children of God. In verse 17, since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially. Do you see what Peter's saying here? Who are you? If you're a Christian, you are a child of God. God is your father. You are family. And that is an enormous privilege to be brought into the family of God. And if you are family, then be holy. It was a few years ago that I was driving the car with Chloe. I think I might have mentioned this beforehand. Chloe was 4 or 5 years old at the time. And as I was driving, she was in the back seat. She said to me, Daddy, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. Yeah, it's one of those really sweet things to say as a dad. Yeah, it's one of those things that melts your heart in the car with my little girl. And it's one of those moments you want to milk the moment. You know, you sort of want to revel in it a little bit. And so I asked her, why? Why do you want to be like Daddy? And here's what she said. She said, I want to be like you because I want to drive. not quite the answer I was going for. It's not because I was smart or I was good looking or funny, but that's what kids are like, aren't they? They see you and they want to copy you. And especially when you're a kid, you think that your mum or your dad, they're the greatest person in the world. Well, here in 1 Peter, our Heavenly Father is the greatest person in the world. And Peter says, be just like him. Be just like your Heavenly Father in verse 15. Peter says, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now I hope that at the top of your New Year's resolutions list, you know, that question, that discussion question, I hope that you might actually change that around a little bit. That at the very top of your list, this is what that you are hoping to do this year. You want to be just like your dad. You want to be like your Heavenly Father, and you want to be holy. God wants you to be absolutely clear this morning about who you are. You are precious, bought with the precious blood of Jesus. You are imperishable. You are fit for heaven. You are family because God is your Father and Jesus is your brother. And because of that, because of who you are, don't be like the rest of the world. Don't be like everyone else. Be holy, set apart for God. It means that we'll live for him. It means that we'll give him everything. He sets the agenda. He sets the direction for what this year looks like. Not because he squeezes out grudging obedience from us. That's not the picture that we get here. But because we are precious and we are imperishable, we are family. What is that going to look like for you this year to be holy? Let me give you a few examples. Back in university, I had a friend called David. David was a smart guy. He was doing his PhD, something which sounded smart, something scientific. I can't remember what it is anymore. But after slaving away for 3 years, he got his PhD and he went to work in a factory as a process worker. There he was with his PhD working on a production line, just doing the same things, the same mundane things over and over again. He was ridiculously overqualified. Now, it's not because he could not get another job. That wasn't it at all. David actually decided that he would go to Bible college. And his plan was to work in a church where most of the people were going to be blue-collar workers. And so he wanted to do the same job as them, to be all things to all people. That's why he chose that job. And the world sees him, the world sees David and says, that's crazy. David has just done his PhD. He's Dr. David. He's got the whole world at his feet. He can have any job that he chooses. He can live it up. He can buy the big house. He can realize his potential, his intellectual potential. That's what the world would do. But David was different. He was holy. That's what holiness looked like. Dawn used to work at Disney. I don't know if you knew that about her. She used to have a boss who was a Christian. He was a senior person within the company. He was talented. And for one of the movies that they worked on, he was the director, this Christian boss. Upper management in the States, they set unrealistic goals, unrealistic deadlines. They wanted to pump the workers. They wanted to get the most out of them. Wanted to squeeze out every moment that they could in order to maximize profits. Because this man was a Christian, he didn't do it. Instead, he went in to bat for the workers, even though he got nothing personally out of it. Actually, he was the only director to do that, because for all the other directors, they didn't want to look bad. But this man did, because he was a Christian. And after that movie, he did not direct again. Not because he did a bad job, not because he was incompetent, but because he was fair, because he was Christian. Dawn's boss, he was Christian at work. And it meant that he went to the workplace. He didn't take off his Christian hat. No, he wore that all the way through. He was different. He was holy. I used to meet up with a guy. We used to meet up in the city and we'd read the Bible. And as we read the Bible, we'd talk about godliness. And we talked about how pornography was a problem for him. Now, it was not an easy conversation. It's never easy to talk about it. Something which is so common, pornography, and yet it's so secretive. But we talked about it, we prayed about it, we kept talking about how we can actually grow in this area and actually how to kill that off. Everyone else is doing it, the world is doing it, but this person wanted to be He wanted to be holy. He didn't want to be like the world and like everyone else. What is it going to look like for you this year as you give your life to God, as you keep giving your life to God? What is holiness going to look like? If you had to write down something in that box, what would that be that God is calling you to be doing this morning? Maybe it's to work on your anger. Maybe that's what holiness looks like for you. Maybe it's actually to be struggling against pornography. Maybe it's the fact that you've been putting your kids as number one, actually over and above God and serving Him. And that's the thing that you need to be changing around. Maybe it's making church a priority and coming as often as you can. Maybe it's giving. Your New Year's resolution this year. Can I encourage that what you want to be doing, what God wants you to be doing this year, is to know who you are. Know who you are and to live that out. God is saying to us, you are precious. You are imperishable. You are family. And so give God everything. Give Him everything and be holy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for what we see here in your word. Father, we pray that this year for 2017, we commit this year into your hands, and we ask you, Lord, that you help us to know who we are, to know the promises that you give us in your word, that we understand that we are precious, that we are raised imperishable, that we are part of your family. And as we understand that, Lord, help us to live it out, to be holy as we live for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.